An agreement to protect millions of hectares of coastal BC forest was announced by the BC government 10 days ago. It's been praised by some as a landmark achievement by government, industry, Aboriginal and environmental representatives. Others are concerned that the agreement doesn't go far enough to preserve an ecosystem that is home to grizzly bears already threatened by the return of recreational hunting in British Columbia. Chris Genovalli is the Executive Director of the Raincoast Conservation Society. He joins me this morning from Victoria. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
How much of the area that's come to be known as the Great Bear Rainforest is protected under this agreement?
Well, approximately 28% of the landscape will be protected, and let me break that down for you. Of that 28%, 9% was already in existing protected status. That is, areas that were designated as protected a decade or more ago by the previous government. So what this announcement produced was 19% new protection, in which all resource extraction is prohibited. Then you've got 5% of the land base designated as mining and tourism areas. These areas, logging is prohibited, but mining exploration and the definition of what they mean by tourism is unclear. I'm assuming that means industrial style tourism with, you know, lodge based operations. And then 67% of the land base will be left unprotected under what is being termed ecosystem-based management, or EBM. And I guess that's where, some of the difference of opinion would arise, is that we do not consider EBM to be a substitute for protection. It, you know, in our view, it's a logging plan, and other proponents of the deal are advocating that somehow this is going to further conservation.
Have the terms of what will happen to the area to be logged been decided yet?
Well, how EBM would be implemented and enforced on the ground is still unknown. There are no legally mandated objectives at this point, and the definition of EBM is somewhat muddled because the different stakeholders have competing ideas as to what EBM is. Under the standards that have been negotiated so far, EBM in the Great Bear Rainforest would allow up to 50% of a given watershed to be logged and would require only 15% tree retention in cut blocks. It would also only allow for a 1.5 tree length buffer for fish habitat, and we feel that those standards are severely lacking and are not going to, EBM is not going to serve as a safety net for the lack of protected areas that came out of the announcement. The other thing too is that people need to realize, even though some 1.8 million hectares are designated as protected under this deal, this is not a contiguous park, one big contiguous park. The protected areas are, in the words of one scientist, dangerously isolated. So what happens in that, what's called the matrix, the areas in between the protected areas where this EBM regime would be applied, is just critical. And I guess our view on it is that, instead of looking at a logging plan as the crux of a protected area strategy, we should have more protection so that we can ensure that biodiversity is going to be safeguarded into the future in this region.
What does the forestry industry get out of the agreement?
Well, the forestry industry, what they're saying is that they get certainty that in this 67% of the land base, that they now consider that where they will be operating, and that there's no question as to where they will be operating. And I'm not sure about the, you know, all the particulars have not come out in terms of, you know, what kind of financial compensation they're getting. But by our analysis, probably somewhere around only 15% of what's called the timber harvesting land base will be protected under the deal. And that's generally the richest, most productive forest. So I'm not sure how much the industry is really giving up in terms of what they're getting to log. The other issue is that the minister who is responsible for implementing the Great Bear Rainforest Agreement, Pat Bell, stated in the media recently that the annual allowable cut will actually increase from the levels that we've seen in the last few years. He's predicting, I think, under EBM that it'll be somewhere around 3.1 million cubic meters a year, where it has been around 2.5. I should also say that in the past it's been even higher than that. It's really, again, it's unclear what the timber industry is giving up and what is the extent of what they're getting in the deal.
And they also now have the approval of some of the large environmental groups.
Well, and I think they've said that in the media that, you know, this is going to end the kind of the criticism or controversy around their operations on the coast, and that I would think that's a somewhat premature statement because, you know, we don't know what their logging is going to look like on the central and north coast. And if history is any indication, their track record has not been good at doing anything other than status quo logging or clear cutting. And you know, we remain skeptical as to whether the industry can do any sort of ecologically sensitive logging. I think it's fairly ridiculous for people to be calling what will be allowed under EBM as, quote, light touch logging, unquote. I mean, this is, you know, the standards that have been negotiated so far are clearly status quo industrial logging. I mean, when you only have to leave 15% tree retention in a clear cut, I wouldn't call that ecoforestry. You know, and on the other hand, though, I should say, I mean, we do see the establishment of these protected areas as a positive first step. I mean, we've been fighting for some legislated protected areas for over 15 years, and it's good to see them be established, but there are major gaps in the protection of habitat for large carnivores and wild salmon, and these still need to be addressed. And again, the amount of protection, while it represents political progress, it falls well short of the ecological criteria that was set out by the scientific advisors to the region's land use negotiations.
Will this agreement do anything to preserve the province's grizzly bear population?
Well, it will protect some grizzly habitat, but by our analysis, somewhere between 70 and 80% of grizzly habitat will be left unprotected by this announcement. And as well, and you alluded to it in your introduction, trophy hunting of grizzlies and wolves and other large carnivores will be allowed pretty much across the entirety of the landscape, except where there are current closures, and in the protected areas. You'll be able to still go in there and sport hunt grizzly bears. We find this, you know, very troubling. During this whole negotiation over the past few years, the government had promised that they were going to deliver some grizzly bear no hunting zones, what they were terming grizzly bear management areas, GBMAs. And those apparently were killed off in the last stages of the negotiations because they were not announced when all this came down on February 7th.
How much would need to be protected, in your view, to represent adequate protection?
Well, the Coast Information Team, which was the assemblage of scientists appointed to inform the land use negotiations, identified 44% protection of the landscape as the minimum requirement to maintain biodiversity. They suggested even higher levels of protection, as much as 70% would be necessary to ensure that biodiversity values remain at a low risk in perpetuity. So I would defer to that scientific body, and you know, clearly protecting 28%, you know, again falls short of even their high risk option. And to believe that a logging plan, ecosystem-based management, is going to compensate for that lack of protection, I think is a fairly dangerous strategy.
Is it worse to have this agreement than not to have this agreement?
Well, that's a hard question to answer. I mean, we've fought for so long to get some protected areas that were going to be set aside and legislated by government. Up until now, except for a couple of areas, everything was still subject to the whims of the current government happened to be, or wood and pulp markets internationally, and it is progress to have these protected areas set aside. It's just that it's unclear as to exactly what are we giving up by kind of having this signed, sealed, and delivered agreement when 67% of the land base is its future is still very much up in the air. And I think that the work of Coastal First Nations has to be commended. I mean, they're in particular, for instance, the Kitisu, who did a really commendable job at furthering their own land use planning and conservation, in which the spirit bear proposal that had been put forward by conservation groups and independent scientists is going to receive significant protection. And that's a huge step forward in that region. But it's a really difficult question to answer whether in the long term, I guess that will become evident.
Well, we may have to ask you that again. Thank you for speaking with me today, Chris.
You're quite welcome.
I've been speaking with Chris Genovalli, Executive Director of the Rain Coast Conservation Society. You're listening to Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.